This is an ABC podcast.
Live across Victoria.
On the ABC Listen app.
Your smart speaker.
And on your radio.
This is ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
The conversations that are important to you. In your town, your suburb.
This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt.
Is anyone vegan anymore? Remember when being vegan was so popular, even jokes were made about it? You know, how do you know if someone's vegan? Don't worry, they'll tell you. Menus were full of vegan options. Every brand, every cafe wanted to be a part of the so-called food trend. But numbers, they're dropping. And menus and products around the world are being pulled from menus. Entire vegan restaurants are shutting down. So was being vegan just a fad? Are you vegan? Maybe you were vegan and now you're not. And if you're not, then why? And also this hour, it's Friday, so at 11:30, Jacinta Parsons will join me. And today we ask the question, should you clean your teenager's bedroom?
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
So was veganism just a fad? Or are true vegans still vegans? And those who were vegan and now not, were they just swept up in momentum, in a fad, and have they now moved on to something else? So around the world, vegan restaurants are shutting down. So there was a place called Neat Burger in the US. This was a vegan burger chain. You know, it was backed by Leonardo DiCaprio and Lewis Hamilton. It's just shut down. If you have been to McDonald's recently, you may have noticed that their plant burger is no longer an option. It's no longer on their menu. And if you think about it, if you went to your local pub or cafe, when was the last time you saw a vegan dish on the menu? Or when you saw every second product at the supermarket having vegan or vegan-friendly on the front? It's not really around as much as it once was. So is being vegan out? Or are you now vegan, still vegan, and why? Associate Professor Evangeline Mansioris, apologies for completely butchering your name, Evangeline. So you're the Program Director of Nutrition at Adelaide University. Was veganism just a fad?
That's a difficult question, isn't it? I think there was a component of people who followed vegan diets. Perhaps it was a fad. But I still think you've got your core vegans there who still hold on to their principles for why they're consuming vegan diets. But I think there's that other element where people have dropped vegan and perhaps started introducing, you know, a little bit of dairy products in or a little bit of fish or meat into their diets again.
It was hard, wasn't it? Because for a lot of people, they were vegan or tried to become vegan for animals, but for the environment as a whole. And then as a result, with supply and demand, we started to get vegan washed a little bit, didn't we, in terms of what was good for us, what was healthy for us. And a lot of fake meats fundamentally were just ultra processed foods. So was there also a little bit of an awakening of what is healthy and what isn't?
Absolutely. I think at one stage, vegan diets were always seen as being very healthy. And I guess that was before industry came in and started supplying, you know, these meat replacement products, which, as you said, are ultimately ultra-processed foods. And we know that ultra-processed foods are linked to poorer physical health outcomes as well as mental health outcomes. And just to remind people that in Australia, about 50% of our diet is from ultra-processed foods. So
wow,
that suddenly makes something very unhealthy, right? And the diet's not so healthy. So, yeah, look, it was, you know, and maybe it was driven by the food industry, people wanting to try these products, see what the taste is like. They probably weren't much cheaper than buying meat, but, you know, they're probably more expensive than the traditional vegan foods that people would consume and which we still promote. And those are the beans and the legumes and the nuts and all, you know, soy and tofu. So Yeah, it's an interesting how both, you know, people's philosophy about animal ethics and the environment interplayed with the food industry and how that's played out.
And just how popular it was and how many people like it. You've got Leonardo DiCaprio and Lewis Hamilton backing vegan burger chain restaurants. At some point, they saw a lot of money in it, didn't they? Even Jolene, stay with us. I want to have a chat to Michael, who's in Pakenham. Morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
Really well. So you're vegan?
I am vegan, and I'm 66 now. I've been vegan for some time. I certainly hope it's not a fad, and I hope it's not declining. I think probably it depends on why someone becomes a vegan in the first place, whether they're doing it as a fad or they deeply believe that becoming a vegan is animal cruelty and the state of the
place. When it became really popular, Michael, sorry, how long did you say you've been vegan for?
Vegan probably about 7 years, but I was vegetarian for a long time.
Yeah, and then made that next step. When it became popular, and did it kind of drive you nuts? Did you feel like some people were doing it for a fad or almost for fashion as opposed to ethical reasons or health reasons? And then did you feel like you had to justify yourself a little bit more?
No, not at all, not at all. No, I think everyone comes to vegan in their own pace and time and their own reasons. Mine was very simple, that I love animals and that I don't support the killing of animals, obviously. And I would even suggest if you love animals, you probably don't if you eat meat. you're not killing them, but indirectly you're having somebody else kill those animals to support your diet. Mm.
Good to hear from you, Michael. Thank you. It's interesting because there's texts like this that says you started off with a vegan bashing joke and then suggested veganism was a fad. At least try to seem objective, please. Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying it was so popular that there were jokes being made. I mean, I didn't make up the joke. I guess my point is more that it was so popular that we saw entire restaurants being opened. We saw entire sections of the supermarket. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it became so popular that I wonder whether those who have been vegan for 40, 50, 60 years, whatever it may be, started to feel like that it was turned into a fad and that companies jumped on board and I guess vegan washed many people along the way. 1-300-222-774. The decline in this, Evangeline, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Absolutely. Yep.
Great. Perfect. Excellent. Sorry. I hate, there's nothing worse when I'm doing that. The idea now, you see protein and the amount of protein on every dish and, you know, how much protein we should be consuming. Has that kind of overtaken the product and the marketing and the companies wanting to jump in on something? Has that sort of overtaken vegan at the moment, do you think?
Yeah, look, I think that has contributed to people who were following vegan diets. Perhaps they were concerned that they weren't consuming enough protein and, you know, thinking, oh, perhaps I need to reintroduce some form of protein back into my diet. So I think that has contributed to it. What we know from the data set, the Australian nutritional data intake, is that 99% of healthy Australians under the age of 75 eat more than enough protein. So we don't need to look for products that have additional protein put into them, because effectively they then become ultra processed foods as well. So what you normally consume is going to be adequate. Now, for vegans, protein is one of the nutrients that we're concerned about. And it's just not the quantity of protein you have, but that you get the right mix to get all the essential amino acids you need in your diet. So you can absolutely do that on a vegan diet, but it is difficult.
You need to educate yourself, don't you? I remember when I became vegetarian and I didn't know how to cook. I was like, you learn. You can only eat so much Napoli pasta for so long. Phil's in Ocean Grove. Right. G'day, Phil.
Oh, hello.
Hi. What did you want to say?
I just question the idea that that veganism is bad for a start, because we're actually from Queensland. We're travelling here in Victoria now, and wherever we go, there's vegan options everywhere.
There still is where you are?
Well, and in Queensland, we're 2 hours north of Brisbane. But here in Victoria, right through as we travel down, lots of vegan options. And as far as where do you get your protein from, how much protein do you need? Well, I'd ask, where do you get your fiber from? Because fiber is just as important a nutrient as protein. And lots of meat diets have way too much protein, and people end up with kidney disease.
Do you make most of your own food, Phil? You know, honestly, we did see a huge influx in supermarkets of plant-based meats, so to speak, and I'm sort of doing inverted commas there. I mean, did you sort of eat that type of product, or have you always cooked your own food?
Look, I tried some of those, but really they are an ultra-processed product, and I don't think they're healthy. I cook my beans and lentils and rice, brown rice, and my pressure cooker, and make my own soy yogurt at home.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's not that. I mean, someone said, the woman who had there said, it's hard being vegan. It's really not being. It's not hard. And it's inexpensive. It's the cheapest way to buy highly nutritious food. And hey, look, here I am at age 69. I'm fit, lean, and healthy, and I haven't eaten animals since I was 21, or their products since 21 years ago. I have been vegan 21 years.
Wow, that's impressive.
And like, what's your evidence that's not healthy?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I'm not saying that's not healthy in the slightest, Phil.
Yeah.
At all. I'm saying the influx of ultra-processed food to jump on to people like yourself, people wanting to be vegan and wanting to be healthy, wanting to do the right thing by the environment. But then you do sort of get health-washed a little bit by some of the products where maybe they don't have the same interests and your best interests at heart. Phil, thank you. I just want to whip through some of these calls. Sharon's in Ballarat. Morning, Sharon.
Good morning. A couple of points. Plant-based diets became a fad, I agree, but veganism isn't a diet. Veganism is a way of life. We get more than enough protein and amino acids and omega-3s through plants. That's where animals get them from, non-human animals that we eat. I haven't eaten an animal or their secretions for most of my life. Since I was 9 years old, I'm now 57. And I'm all alive and healthy and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's complete rubbish. And I don't know, I agree with that previous caller who said, you know, that woman who said, oh, it's difficult and you, rubbish. Absolute rubbish. A handful of walnuts, you're good to go.
And once you get used to your own diet and what you can do, I mean, I was just impressed that he made his own soy yogurt. That's super impressive. Evangeline, do you need to educate yourself, no matter the diet, vegetarianism, veganism, whatever it may be, understanding what you're eating and what your body needs? And that does change as we age as well.
Absolutely. Look, the last couple of callers have sound like they've really educated themselves about what they need to consume. So I need to clarify, it is a difficult thing to understand all the different nutrient requirements that we get through our diet. So typically we see that protein may be low, that calcium may be low, that iron may be low, that vitamin B12 would definitely be low, unless people are really careful about making sure they consume mushrooms in their diet. So we do know that some vegans do need to get vitamin B12 injections to bring up their level. So I stick by saying it is a difficult thing to do, but you can do it, and you do need to educate yourself. And particularly if you're going and having a baby and pregnant, your requirements will then change. Your requirements will also change for when you have you're breastfeeding a child. So people do need to look into it, but if you stick to whole foods like those beans and lentils that the previous callers have talked about and mixing them up and having different ones, then you are more certain to get all the different protein and amino acids you need.
I find it interesting too that around the world, if we're seeing restaurants shutting down or offerings being reduced, I would imagine those who have been vegan, like the callers that we've heard, you know, from Sharon and some from Phil, you know, that they're not the fad people, you know.
No, exactly.
So it probably doesn't bother them in the slightest. So there's different reasons as to why people come vegan. And we try different diets at different times of our lives, don't we? And sometimes they fit for us and sometimes they don't. Evangeline, thank you so much for your time and your insights. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Associate Professor Evangeline Mansouris, who is the Program Director in Nutrition at Adelaide University. We'll try and get back to more of your calls on this a little later. Are you seeing less offerings? Are you seeing less products? And did you try to be vegan and are you no longer vegan? Or maybe you've been vegan your entire life, but are you seeing a decrease in the number of people who are vegan? Our number's 1-300-222-774. Coming up in just a moment, if you live near something beautiful, a bit of a tourist landmark, are tourists gross? Are they disgusting? Are they dirty? Are they leaving things around? And are they just behaving poorly? What have you seen where you live?
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Are you still seeing plenty of vegan options where you are? Keep those calls coming through. We'll try and get back to them. 1-300-222-774. But beautiful weekend ahead of us. You might be thinking of getting out and about. Maybe you're lucky enough to be planning a holiday, or maybe you're getting ready for an influx of tourists if you live in a tourist town. So whether it be, I don't know, Squeaky Beach, the Great Ocean Road, or maybe the beautiful Pink Salt Lakes, what do you notice when you've seen an influx of tourists, whether it be rubbish, maybe illegal parking, traffic congestion, vandalism, even to the point of people defecating in the bush or even on the side of the road? So what's going on? Why do people behave so poorly? Is it a lack of bins? Is it a lack of toilets? Or is it just a lack of respect? Jordan Crook is from the Victorian National Parks Association. He's an advocate there. Jordan, I don't know, like, have tourists always behaved poorly, or is it getting worse?
We've got more tourists, which is a good thing. But I guess the caretakers of those natural areas, like park rangers, fisheries officers, have been in decline while the numbers of visitors is going up.
So what needs to change then? Is it curbing numbers? Is it providing bins or toilets?
Yeah, to me, a big one is education. So if we want to visit these places again and we want our next generations to visit them again in the same beautiful condition they are now, then we need to do certain things, stick to the tracks, take your rubbish home, and so forth. So it's really education, and the cuts we're seeing to Parks Victoria in the education and interpretation teams is really like tracking along with the amount of damage that's happening to the parks. So the cuts are really starting to be felt.
Do we really need to educate people to not leave rubbish behind? I mean, is that where we're at in society? Like, it's a bit of a concern, isn't it?
It's a bit of a concern, but different folks have different values, and there's no bins in national parks. It's you bring it in, you take it out, and really making those things clear. And it's really being stewards of those landscape, and that involves education of the next generation and the one after that and the current one.
Some areas, do numbers need to be curbed, do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely a conversation that needs to be had. You've got areas like the Prom, the Dandenong Ranges National Park, Werribee Gorge, very close to Melbourne. So they get very heavily used. Over 50 million people visit Victoria's national parks every year. Mm. And our national parks are only a tiny part of Victoria. So the context being we're the most cleared state in Australia. So most of our native veg is gone, over 70%. The last 30%, roughly 18%, is in national parks and protected, and that's where people want to go. So we really need to manage them visiting these places, like, really well, and that needs more park rangers and more people out there looking after them.
Is it that we don't have the number of park rangers, or is it that people don't want to be park rangers, or does their job description need to change? I remember, you know, speaking, I mean, I could imagine that a park ranger didn't get into a job to tell people to pick up their crap. Like, that isn't probably why you get into the role, but is that a big part of it?
We've got our lowest park ranger numbers now since the Kennett government. So,
really?
Yeah, it's really bad at the moment. So we need more park rangers.
So why? What's your theory behind that? I look at rangers and I say to my daughter all the time, gosh, that'd be a nice job. Like, look at what they do and where they spend their working day and how educated they are in some spaces. Why are we at the lowest number of park rangers?
It's unfortunately this current government's not this state government, because the park rangers are a state government institution, isn't really valuing our parks and our protected areas. So, yeah, we're seeing these cuts to the detriment of these beautiful places that tens of millions of us visit every day. So
they're just not funding the rangers, or they're cutting back on programs? What is it?
They're cutting back on programs like education and interpretation, on park rangers, on pest management and the like. And it's really very, very short-term thinking, you know, try and make a gain now, but the weeds get worse, the damage gets worse, the parks get handed over to the next generation in poorer condition.
What made you want to be a park ranger?
I worked in parks for 2 years or so. And, yeah, they definitely deserve a pay rise. it's about being a steward and a custodian of these beautiful areas, the plants and animals that have lived and evolved here for millions of years. So, and then facilitating people visiting those areas in a way that doesn't destroy and degrade them.
Do you get frustrated with your work, Jordan? I can remember being at the Penguins at Phillip Island, and there was an incredible park ranger who was just educating us and telling us the story and the history, and their depth and their knowledge and their passion was fascinating. And they had to stop, I'm not joking, every 30 seconds to tell people to stop putting their phones away, because actually it's not good for the fairy penguins to have all of the flashes and all of the lights, and they didn't like them. And I got so frustrated on their behalf, because I thought they didn't become a park ranger to stand up there like a school teacher and say, put your phone away, put your phone away, put your phone away, put your phone away. The idea that people just don't listen, don't use common sense and aren't polite, is that something that comes into your world?
A little bit. But like, we've had lots of polling done by Redbridge and the like, and people love our national parks. And they want them looked after, and it's like in the 80, 85%. So it's a small group of people that go out there and deliberately damage parks and steal firewood and dump rubbish and the like. But most people want to do the right thing. Mm. And we all know, like, we want to hand it over to the next generation. We need to look after them, and we need those caretakers, like fisheries officers and park rangers and the like.
And us as citizens, what can we do if we see someone behaving poorly, if we see rubbish being dumped? What should we do?
A good app, SnapSendSolve app, you can take a picture of the issue, and it goes through to the land manager, be it local council or Parks Victoria or DECA. Join a local friends group to help care for that little patch of bush in your area is a big one. Maybe an hour or two a month makes a huge difference. And learn about these places, learn about our national parks, why they were created, like the Victorian Environment Assessment Council, which unfortunately the government's also getting rid of, made these parks for a reason, planned them out to protect certain ecosystems in certain areas for wildlife and the like. So get out there. We definitely want people not getting out there. Like, we want them out there learning about these places, caring for them, and getting them in their hearts.
Absolutely. You just want people to do the right thing, and so that we can pass it on to our children and our children's children. Jordan, thank you for the work that you do. I feel like there's another conversation in just park rangers and what the job involves and their role and why they're so important. So we might get back to you another time.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, mate. Jordan Crook from the Victorian National Park. Parks Association. He's an advocate there. Anthea in Torquay says, I've noticed this past summer, especially people that have come to my sleepy little coastal town, expecting the hospitality level to be that of the inner city. All Melbourne, when they get service and on the beach time, they get angry. They are so rude to the staff. Leave your big city expectations and your bad manners on the highway if you visit, please. And others, I like day tourists who come down to our beaches on the Mornington Peninsula. It's a real shame how many, though, leave rubbish on the beach, ranging from empty drink bottles, cans, chip packets. And I've really noticed an increase in cigarette butts lately. I know, that's because people are smoking again. Wow, I went to a party the other week and people that had quit for 20, 30 years were back on the ciggies. Anyhow, that's just how it goes at the moment. We've also been talking about veganism and whether or not you've been vegan your whole life or whether you tried it and now you're no longer vegan. And if you're seeing a number of vegan options just decreasing from menus, you know, burgers no longer on that menu, entire vegan restaurants shutting down as well. You can keep those calls coming through 1300 222 774. But up next, as always, it's a Friday. Jacinta Parsons joins me. And today we're asking, should you clean your disgusting teenager's bedroom?
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
It's Friday. It's just after 11:30, which means it's time to welcome my friend, colleague, a woman who, love your brain, but looks mega hot today.
May I
just say, yeah.
I love being objectified by you. Like, bring it on. This is what, we did this conversation once, didn't we? Like, is it okay to say to friends,
you look
to people
hot,
that you are not interested in, what,
sexually?
Are you?
Maybe. I don't know.
You don't know who you are anymore, do you?
I don't know who I am. You do things to me that surprise me.
I love this. This is such a revelation.
But you and I have this thing where we walk into the studio. We actually don't look at each other's eyes. We look each other up and down and comment on our outfits.
Enjoy. Because look at you are watching us potentially right now. I don't know, because we've filmed this little segment and put it on Instagram. Your dress,
yes,
is it from the 70s?
Yeah.
So it's got a massive collar. It is like what someone might wear in the 70s.
Yeah, it's like vampire hanging at Hanging Rock.
Whoa.
You know?
Love that.
Yeah.
Like, as your collar's going to eat things.
Yeah, it's got a bit of vampire wife vibe, yeah, and a bit. But it's handmade. It's from the 70s, so there's no label. Someone has made it. But when they made it, they didn't put a split in it. So when I discovered when I was walking across the street this morning,
do not run,
that I kind of walked like Morticia Adams, you know, with the
which is perfect for this situation.
It kind of is.
We do need to let you all know, because obviously you're not very interested in what we're talking about right now, but you and I pretty much dress for each other.
I do.
As like, I'm going, oh, Rishi will see this today.
Nice.
It matters that I put it on.
I
do think about you when I get dressed.
Do you get your clothes off the floor, though, like most of the teenagers?
Okay.
I know.
Please set this up, because I've got so much to say,
right,
and I don't want to ruin the setup, but
another topic planned. However, myself, yourself, and the sound wizard from breakfast were in the little, you know, green room thing out here, and we were discussing what was going to be the topic of first periods, last periods, which we may talk about. You
we
know,
should.
When someone in your house gets their period and you're no longer getting your period, how does everyone in the house survive? You just happened to say something about whether or not you should be cleaning your teenager's bedroom.
I went to the sound wizard because I feel like he's had a few extra years on me. He's a pretty chill guy.
He's a wizard.
And I was like, dude, should I be, what sort of parent should I be to a resistant 13-year-old child? He gave me some advice. But
yada,
this
yada,
was what,
yada,
you know,
an hour bada later.
Bing.
So we are not alone in the internal struggle that we have on whether or not we should or shouldn't clean our teenager's bedroom. So I went to the internet, right?
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And it says here, generally, you should not clean your teen's room for them, as it violates their privacy, removes a sense of control, and prevents them from learning responsibility. Instead, focus on enforcing health-related rules in brackets, no moldy food dishes.
That's what I'm enforcing.
Whilst allowing them to manage their own clutter.
Okay, so this is it. So I think within this question, everything about your relationships, how you manage them in the house are revealed. I had an interrogation with the three teenagers in my car on the way to the Coburg pool this morning as I dropped them off.
They were like, because they were late. For this, man.
They were late and they needed mum to drive them, which is also like, organize yourselves.
See?
You should just be late.
This is so the same cute lesson.
And I'm like, you know, anyway.
This is the same lesson. Do you drive them to the pool or do you let them be late?
I drove them to the pool.
So this is why you're cleaning up their bedroom.
I know. I'm not cleaning up the bedroom. No, I mean just enforcing it. So this is the question. Oh, I said to the three of them individually, do you think that a teenager should be required to clean their bedroom forced if it comes out? They all said, absolutely yes. And I was like, what? Yes, of course. Imagine if we grew up and we didn't know how to look after ourselves, etc. And then I drilled in and I said, is your room clean right now, child who doesn't live with me? And she said, well, no, not at all. And I said, okay, how does that affect the relationships in your house? And she says, tension everywhere.
Yeah.
Because my person who wants me to clean the room wants different things than I want. I want a bit of mess. She wants it really clean.
Why do you want mess, though?
Well, this is what I said. And then she said to me, I don't really want mess, though, to be truthful. But I also want my own control of when and how I do the things I need to do.
Mess makes me stressed. 1-300-222-774. 1-300-222-774. Do you clean your teenager's bedroom and why? See, here's the thing, a million years ago, I was messy teen. Like my friends had an intervention and cleaned my bedroom because, you know, there could have been villages of small people living
in there.
I
had a banana squashed on my carpet for a couple of months, but I couldn't find where the origin of the smell was. So that's, I mean, how can I, how?
I know.
And am I good now? Not really, but continue.
I, a million years ago, worked at a street press, a music magazine, and I sold the advertising for that magazine. And we had this sort of powwow where some sales guru came in to make us better salespeople. And the first thing they said was, who made their bed this morning?
Your hand go up?
No, because I never used to make my bed. And he basically sort of went, what kind of human being are you? What sort of level of success are you going to have in life if you can't even make your bed?
Is that a true equation?
Yeah.
Let's interrogate that.
Did you
start making it?
I make my bed every day. I feel like a loser if I don't.
I didn't make my bed this morning, Michelle.
Loser.
I know. I hung out with a fella who loved a bed being made. Every day.
It makes me feel in control.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not in control. Like, let's just be real.
I'm not saying I am in control.
But you feel it.
I feel it. 1-300-222-774. Should you clean your teenager's bedroom? Do you discuss it with them as well? I used to put chocolate treat on the kitchen bench on Saturdays and tell the kids to come and get it when their room was cleaned. That's from Robin.
This one, I have to read because this one came through a while ago and you can't see it. My daughter was so disgusting, I took her bedroom door off. As I refused to clean it, thought the shame of no privacy would prompt a clean, but it didn't work.
The sound wizard was talking about getting all of the junk out and shoving it in the hallway. Just saying, you know what? It's got to the point now where there needs to be an intervention. Okay. Why does it matter? For me, I think, how can you think clearly? What kind of self-respect?
See, this is what I would argue in my many share houses when I still had not reformed. And I'm not a reformed clean person. But I would say your values in life. This is the same thing I say to the hairdressers who say, did you actually dye your own hair for this many years? It's terrible. And I'd say, that's because you have a profession in hair.
Mm.
I don't.
That's, yeah.
I don't mind. You want cleanliness. I don't. Why are you, in your perspectives of cleanliness, much more with authority than me.
You know how I admitted to you the other week, talking of hairdressers, that I cut my own hair with the chicken scissors? I told the hairdresser.
And?
A little judgy, right, which I expected. But you know what? I thought, bugger, I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here in shame.
I'm so glad. Were they touching your fringe in a way that wondered,
like,
why is there sort of giblets on this?
But she said to me, I've seen worse.
That's so,
you know, because I came in half an hour before, and that's what they've said.
That was kind of a compliment.
Do you know what? But this is it. We have normalized concepts of the world. Do we need to teach our children to exist within them? Like, is that the responsibility of a parent to fight with your child?
Does it? So, for the amount of tension, this is what I'm going through at the moment. For the amount of tension that it causes, every time I walk past the said bedroom, I'm like, "Don't say anything. Don't say anything."
Well done. And do you?
No. And then, and it's, oh, it's hard.
I do every day.
Every, see, does it?
I've
not
become that guy.
Yeah.
Because I think, maybe incorrectly, that's what I was asking the sound wizard, is my job as a parent these things that cause an enormous amount of tension in our lives, but it's my role to be that guy in your life that says, no, actually, this is how we live together.
I eventually gave up, says this text, except for food items, although occasionally when she was away, I'd do a complete, that was in my daughter's when I'm camp, I might have really cleaned her bedroom. I'd do a complete clean when she was away. She was always thrilled. Now, this is interesting. It says, being neurodivergent, she finds it hard to keep it clean and keep on top of things, so I cut her some slack. She's now 22. Oh. Occasionally will still pick up some of her clothes on the floor. I know it helps and it does overwhelm her. So does neurodivergence come into this?
Yes. And so that's me. Hi.
Hi.
Recently diagnosed. But I spoke to my teenage friend as well, who also is in the same boat. So the girl I was talking to this morning in the car. And I said, you know what? I think it's also part of how overwhelmed we are. Because she said part of the problem is starting. So I said, this is for anyone out there who needs this advice. I'm so excited to give it to you. As one of these people, what you need to do before you put anything away is categorize everything.
Mm.
You put your pants together, you put your dresses, and I'm saying multiples, hundreds of each, because that's what's on my floor. And then you start approaching putting them away.
Do you color code?
I used to.
I've just started to color code my clothes.
Are you going through some troubles?
No, I've just got a bigger wardrobe.
I think that's a red.
Oh. I can see stuff.
Oh.
And it's so nice. I've found dresses that have been hidden in my wardrobe for 15
squish.
Like, I was like, hello. It was like shopping.
Yeah. But did you want to wear them still?
I wore it the other day.
See, I don't want to throw anything. Anyway, we've got to. We need
I don't
to do
throw anything
this.
Out.
I don't want to throw anything out or give Why it to the op shop even because I feel responsible to these dresses that
and
are found.
And what if you want to wear it like in 20 years like I just did? No, don't. I'm sick of throwing things out. People saying, you got too much stuff, declutter. No.
I love when you get bulshy like this. I will go in the spa. I will not clear out my cupboard. We
I'm
want to know what
cleaning out
you
my cupboard.
Do, though, with your own kids. Do you think this is the battles that we don't fight with them? Or are these the really important ones? Like, clean your room. I love this from Alan. I was a teenager in 1975. My mum decided to clean my bedroom. She found my bong in the wardrobe. I don't think she knew what it was, but she cleaned it and put it back. Like, what a legend. She would have been like, what's this dude doing with this very smelly object?
There's you cleaning things and then there's cleaning bong water, right? That is next level
Mom,
cleaning.
Mom.
Come on, putting it back in. So there was a debate on Facebook a couple of years ago where a mum said, okay, come at me with your pitchforks, but I make my son's bed every
day.
So this
is on the internet?
On the interwebs.
I love it when you get on there.
I get on there and I find a
you
little
do research.
Thing. I do.
You see
and
it.
People went her. They said, you're setting him up now to expect his wife or his partner to clean for him. And she said, no, I'm actually setting him up to show him what an act of love and kindness is.
Far out. She, far that out. Is such a great response.
Yeah, man.
Because in some ways I sort of feel like that about my own little legs.
Yeah.
He's like, well, this stuff is just not in my wheelhouse. Like, it's really hard for me to do these things. And he argues with me on philosophical levels, like, you know, things that are outrageous. Like I said, look, if you leave food in your bedroom, the mice will come. And he goes, mice can't get up this high in a building.
Yes, they can.
Yes, they can. But then we've got to argue about whether mice, we have to research.
You said snakes. Snakes came in a window in Queensland. It's a snake.
Did they? How far up?
A python. It's on the bed.
But how far? It's just a normal window, though, not
yeah,
three
up,
floors
no,
up.
It was up. Yeah.
How do they do that?
And the water systems. Husband had to say, hey, babe, don't move.
Do you know we had a sewage leak in our building the other day? Yeah. Continue.
Lisa's in Doreen. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, it's Lethal, actually.
Oh,
how are you?
Apologies. I'm good. How are you? Are you good, in the middle of cleaning up a teen's bedroom while they're at school?
I'm actually a cleaner, so I'm in the middle of cleaning someone's house at the moment.
Talk to us.
But, are they disgusting?
No, my kids are disgusting, though. And
how old are they?
Give us other people's houses, and they say, "I'm sorry about my kids' rooms, but they're so much better than my own children."
Oh God!
And I'm a renter, so it's really hard for me. I have to go and clean my kids' rooms, and mind you, my kids are now 22 and 19, because they just leave them in such a disgusting state.
So, Lisa, what's your saying? Your name was Liesl. Sorry, Liesl. As a cleaner, when you go into a teen's bedroom, what do you do? Like, as a parent, you can be like, you know what? Bugger you, I've had enough. This has gone in the bin. This is disgusting. This is going in the cupboard. What do you do? Do you like step around? Do you fold? Do you just vacuum around the crap? What do you do?
I tend to pick it up and tidy things and then clean around anything that's really massive and really disgusting.
What's the worst thing you found?
Usually it is food that you can't identify any longer.
Can I ask you, though, at a philosophical level, Liesl, do you think, now that you've got older dudes in your house, that fact that they, why don't they clean now as older people? And do you think, just leave it, they'll sort it out when they find their way into the world?
Well, I'm hoping my 22-year-old will move out soon so that he can.
Let's call him live on the radio, should we? Let's give him a quick call and go, "Hi, guy.
Move out, man.
Yeah, it's time to go."
He's been okay, but he works long hours and says he's just too tired to do it, which I find incredible because I work long hours and I still do it. And I always say to them, my area of the house doesn't look anything like your area of the house.
Were you messy as a teen, though?
Pardon?
Were you messy? Was your room messy as a teen?
As a young kid, yes. Messy, but not disgusting. So toys everywhere. But as I got older, no. And then I sort of became the cleaner of my house because it would annoy me when people left rubbish around and I'd start cleaning up when I was a teenager.
It makes you feel good too. Like, makes you feel good.
No, here's the thing. I reckon if you said to your teen, "Come on, now that I've cleaned this pigsty, how do you feel? Do you feel good? Like, do you feel calm?"
My teenager would say, "I feel violated that you went into my space and you touched my things."
Wow.
Okay, so, my older one, he doesn't mind, but my younger 19-year-old, he doesn't like it at all. But then if they're up to mischief as well, I feel like I have to go in and just double-check things. And also, he is neurodivergent, so he just doesn't get it. I'll say, "Bring out the dishes," and he'll bring out one because they're not allowed to eat in their room, and he thinks he's done it.
And there's a reality around
five
that.
Other dishes.
I know.
Yeah, that's the thing. When all of a sudden you're like, "Where are all our plates? Like, why is there no cutlery?
I have no forks." Because you know what happened yesterday? After he assured me that he has a system that's very effective for him, I had to open up a drawer in his bedroom and cutlery fell out of the drawer. And he goes, "Okay, maybe that's not the best part of my system." Because he doesn't have a system. There's no system there.
Oh, my God, says this text. Thank you, Liesl. Oh, my God, the bane of my existence, says this text. It's taking me years to ignore the tip. My favourite moment is when they can't find anything. Only rule is bring up the dishes. That's from Carla. Okay, so when they come to you and they say, "I can't find, you know, my basketball shorts," what do you do then? Is it like bad luck?
Yeah, you go to basketball in your pyjamas and see how it feels.
Wear your dressing gown.
I think you have to have consequences, and I think in the modern day, we're very quick to sort of fix the consequences
because we're tired as well.
We don't want to argue about the stupid. Peter says here, "Teenagers' floor drobes were a perennial topic for our school parents. Simply ignore. We focused on general household chores and both could cook a signature meal for the family at 15. So more achievable, less frustrating." So maybe there's just some tools we have to teach and the others, like, deal with it later.
Andy's in West Footscray. Morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Good. We're emotional, Andy. How are you feeling?
Yeah. I'm revved up.
I had to call in because I remembered something funny from when I was a late teenager living on residence in college when I was studying. And I had a floor drobe that was so comprehensive that
one of my friends came and tied all of the jumpers and jeans and things that were on the floor. They tied the sleeves to the legs and so on, and made like a huge chain of clothes that I didn't realise was a chain of clothes until sometime later, and then I realised that everything was tied together.
That's next level.
That's actually, are they still your friends? Because I want them in my life. People like that, gosh, the effort.
And how clean are you now, Andy?
Well, look, I have a good yang to my yin, so I'm lucky. But I, you know, there's the standard in my children is the pathway to the bed.
We grow out of it, don't we?
Do we grow out of it? I haven't.
I don't think I have.
I haven't.
Wow.
I'm better at, you know, living the reality of what I have to do. But
I just, I would just be in constant,
I know,
stress.
I know. Oh. But I'm, look, what I decided recently as I was wading through my clothes on the bedroom floor, getting to the work that I had to do, I was like, you know what? This is a creative space?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Well, it wasn't until my mum told me that white-tailed spiders like to live in clothes on the floor.
She's a woman. Remember we need to talk about
more.
Remember
the fear around white-tails? Like yeah, they're going to eat your skin.
Papillomas and from the pool. Same era. Do you remember papillomas in the early 80s?
There was the big fears in the 80s was white tails and razor blades in the water slides.
Yes.
And wasps in your drink.
Please throw papillomas in there next time you make a list.
Jessie's in Elwood. Hi, Jessie.
Oh, hi. Actually, white tails, actually, I've got something else to say, but
yeah.
I was in bed and I felt this thing across my feet, and I threw the bedclothes back, and there was the biggest white tail you've ever seen.
It's real
in my bed.
Oh God! Like, how does that guy find his way to the most vulnerable place in the house?
Because it's warm and cozy.
Yeah, but that's why there's so many other things he could have done.
I've never forgotten it, but the reason I'm ringing, I was a very messy teenager. I had an anxiety issue, which I kind of still have, and I'm still messy. But my mother, I used to leave my dishes in the sink all the time, and I came home from school and all my dishes were on my bed.
Oh, yeah. Mum.
And,
yeah.
And it, do you know what? I was horrified, and I didn't do it after that. And if anyone leaves a dish around, I just don't like that at all.
What a lovely human you are, though, because if I did that to my children, they would sleep under the dishes that I'd left on their bed, you know? But you actually realised the error of your ways.
But there's some parents go to the next level, Jessie. This one here says, my wife and I are driving and listening to this. We are suddenly so reassured. I once coloured rice brown and spread it around my daughter's room like it was mouse poo.
Well done.
It accomplished nothing other than me having to replace the carpet.
You had to replace the carpet.
That's some stubborn teen, man.
Oh, like, if they're that stubborn, this is the global question, though, I think, is what are the battles we fight? And I feel like I'm really oscillating all the time. Who am I creating to go into the world?
It's messy.
Well, shush it. I clean. Why don't come at me with your eyes and your pen pointing at my face? Yes, it is. But I also acknowledge that I need to keep our spaces clean for cohabitation.
So is it about cohabitation or is it about a life lesson? Like, you won't you won't evolve into...
You know what that is? It's about learning that we cohabit as humans in the world in all sorts of ways.
So you're not respecting me?
Yeah. That's what I think.
Oh.
It's about, look, hang on, you're in a community, even if it's just
you're living
me
in
the
society.
You're living in the world. That's what, that's my whole thing. It's like, how much do you have to push and do all this stuff to ensure that they will be responsible little peeps?
I thought it was self-respect. Annie's
I have no self-respect.
No, not yours, his.
I know, but yeah.
Annie, hello.
Hi.
What is it about self-respect? Is it about living in a society? Is it about giving up? What is it?
I think it's about training. And when you're only 13, you're still very young. You've got no idea about things. And I think when I was at that age, I used to just step out of my clothes in my bed and then walk off to school and come home, and my mum would have folded everything up and made my bed. And, you know, I've grown up to be a really neat person myself, And I did a similar thing with my daughters. I would tidy and clean their rooms too. And they've both grown up to be tidy, clean people.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think at 13, they're too young. And then if they get in a huge mess, they don't know how to get out of it. And then they think that's the way you should be.
Help them do it? Is that what your advice is?
Yeah, I think so.
Cleaning instructions.
Yes.
Yep. I think it gets back to not knowing where to start sometimes as well. Annie, thank you.
Silverfish. That's all someone's texted in.
Silverfish. Continue.
Oh, yeah. Tegan, just so we don't run out of time, good morning.
Good morning. Just calling to confirm the white tail. Oh. It happened this week to my son.
Oh, no.
I have banged on about white tails and clothes on the floors forever, and they don't believe me. And this week I was in his room and a white tail happened to be walking to his
Yes, Mum. That's great for Tegan. Who cares about life risk? This is life lessons.
Who will believe you forever now? Did you just go, that is my finest parenting moment ever?
Yep.
I'm high-fiving.
He flew out of his room. He refused to sleep in there, but his room has been spotless ever since. Oh,
yes, Tegan.
I'm going to plant spiders.
Surely they sell them at the pet store. Yeah. Let's go and get a couple of white tails. No, for anyone listening, we would never do that to our children.
I can't believe that's a real thing. I thought Mum was just saying.
No, I thought that was a joke too. Or just like heightened 80s anxiety.
Oh, God, I didn't know. Are they back? White tails
are they back,
back,
Tegan, or did you manifest them because you spoke about them so much?
No, they're back, and I feel like they're bigger than when I was a teenager, and my mum told me about them.
Mm-mm. I love this. I love it. It's a bit of our armoury as parents.
So they eat your skin. You know, your skin disintegrates. I don't know if that's real. I don't know.
Can we get a white tail expert on?
No.
I'll do it on my show on Saturday.
Well, I couldn't read out all the texts. Apologies. But this is a generational debate, dare I say.
Oh.
Of just, do you clean? Do you not clean? I think the thing today is we're not alone.
Well, we are not alone. We're not alone.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening. Take care and we'll speak to you soon.